Watch it. Always brace me. There we go. And go hard. And go hard.
Peddler's Pod with Sam and Megan.
Hello, welcome back to the Paddler's Pod with Sam and Macca. Yes, it has been a long time. In fact, I think it's been somewhere close to 6 months now, but we are reunited and it feels good. Macca, how are you?
I'm great. I'm fantastic. It's so good to be back. It was, it was amazing to have you and Austin on the podcast as a co-host last time. It gave me plenty to listen to as I've been in a bit of turmoil, which we'll speak about in due course, but it is great to be back and to talk about all things paddling. I can't wait.
We do have a bit to unpack. Who should go first? You go first. So when we last checked
where
in
do we
with
start?
You, Macca, you were on a
you
boat.
You put the mocker on me.
In Indonesia, I said you were catching the waves of your life, and that is only half true because by that point, you'd already picked up an injury, a broken foot, essentially, Macca.
Pretty average, So first day, everything was going smooth. It was amazing. We were set for some amazing waves, and we did get amazing waves. I just didn't get to surf them. So first day, jump off the boat, fourth wave in, and I wish it was more of a war story. Like I took a 20-foot wave and something happened. It was like a 4-foot average wave pulled into the barrel and sort of got chomped up by the foam ball, and my foot went one way and my body went the other, and I thought it was just a big sprain at the time, and I went back to the boat. I was starting to think the worst, like, oh my God, it's broken. How am I going to do this? How am I going to spend the rest of the time on the boat watching all this good surf? Should I go home? I was, I was in a pretty bad mental state for the first 2 days, and then I spoke to my dad and he was like, look, he's a chiropractor, and he said, look, it can't really get any worse, even if it's broken. Worst comes to worst, they break it again when you get home, and and it heals afterwards. There was no real way for me to get home hopping and limping on one leg alone. So I was on the boats with 10 of my really close mates, and they helped me out. And after about day 5, I figured it wasn't going to get any better. So that's maybe where the stupidity kicked in, and I strapped it up and went surfing for the last couple of days. And then things just went topsy-turvy, came home, went for an x-ray, thinking I was just going to clear the air, make sure there was nothing wrong, and no, not at all. 6 weeks in a boot on crutches, thanks for coming. That was my story.
And you still haven't got back into the boat to paddle yet. You've been on the ergo plenty. What training you can do going?
Oh, it's tough, hey? I never want to take paddling for granted ever again. It's it's pretty brutal in the garage. I work from home, so you wake up, you go to the garage, you paddle, you have a shower, you go to work. I've been fortunate enough to try to get out to the gym every now and then and try and sneak out to do a couple with Jeremy Cotter and Val while I can to keep my sanity alive. Incorrect, I have been paddling once. Corey Hill was kind enough to be my chauffeur, take my ski off the car, walk it down to the water. I'd hobble down, he took my crutches back. Then he had to take the ski back up, so good friend there. But it was lovely to be back, even if it was just for a short snippet. They've been kind enough to let me go back and get another x-ray in a week's time, which is a week earlier. So hopefully I'm back on the water soon enough. Anyway, that's enough about the depressing side. It's actually been really good for me. I've been able to focus on technique, getting stronger, and like the burning desire to get back in the boat has never been more apparent. And I'm basically, no secret here, I'm going to race every weekend to the World Championships. It sort of worked last year, so I'm just going to be as fit as I can to race, basically, for the World Champs. And that's the story of Macca for the last 6 weeks. You too have had some big things going on, getting back into the regular world after what was an amazing trip overseas, no doubt.
Yeah, I've been doing it really tough too, Macca. Since I did record that podcast episode, I think I was in Santorini. That was like the day that I flew out of London after the Ashes. and the start of my month-long holiday. Yeah, tough gig. I actually just parted my way across Europe and caught up with different friends for the best part of 4 weeks. But mate, someone has to. Someone has to.
You deserve it.
I had a really good time. Look, there was one speed bump. I actually got my backpack stolen in Barcelona. Close friend, Daniel Booth. That's the brother of Michael Booth, who, in his own right, hell of a paddler, won an Australian surf scare title. But Daniel was with my backpack when I went to the bathroom. When I got back, the backpack was no longer there. I actually had intentions to record another episode of the podcast because one of the guys that I did go and visit on those few weeks of fun was Victor Du, French paddler. He actually took home a bronze medal from the Surf Ski World Championships in 2021 in Gran Canaria, but I didn't have anything to record with. And you know what? Victor's got enough on his plate at the moment, being a new father. We actually just enjoyed a few beers as well. So I did have to come back to the real world. I have probably been doing less paddling than you, Macca, in that I finally went and got my shoulder checked out. It actually got a fair bit worse while I was away, and I have bursitis in there. So, look, nothing that is going to ruin my life. I'm not going to lose an arm, but I certainly won't be able to properly race this season, which is a shame. I think it's probably going to take a little bit of time to be able to get that sorted. So, I guess I won't be lining up in the WA race week. I won't be lining up in the World Championships to race. So whether or not I'm over there is another thing. But my enthusiasm for surf ski paddling hasn't left yet either, Macca. I did actually get back in the boat for the first time just this week. And it felt really nice back up at home in Newcastle with the Redhead Surf Club crew. And really enjoyed that, catching a few little runs. So it's all ahead of us, Macca. We haven't got much going on for us at the moment in the world of surf ski paddling. But we can certainly talk about it, and there is a bit to talk about as well, because while we have done nothing, some paddlers have been doing some incredible things.
The Paddler's Pod. Power Plays.
Which this episode is once again brought to you by longtime sponsors Viacobi.
Number 5.
Well, it's been a cold, harsh winter for everyone in the Southern Hemisphere, but it has been beautiful in the Northern Hemisphere, particularly in the north of Europe as well. And that is where we find Gordon Harbrecht, who is always racing. He's always doing incredible things, but this one stood out above the rest. We know that he has a storied history in sprint kayaking and in his K1 as well, racing marathon. He's won World Cup medals in Germany's K4. He is back in the kayak and racing at the German Sprint Championships. He lined up in the 5,000 meters and he came away with a bronze medal. It's like that man never left. I tell you what, he says that he's starting to get on in age and he's got family responsibilities now, but I'm pretty sure he's getting fitter and he's getting faster, Macca. Unbelievable.
If the gorge was anything to show for anything, and he's come out and done this, it's a bit of a, it's a bit foreshadowing, a bit worrying for the rest of us. I know I was in talks with him. He went and picked up the new Nordic kayak from the factory and drove it straight to the race venue, hopped straight on, raced 5K, got third in no slouch of any field. I believe it was the
German championships, mate.
It's the real deal. And it's pretty it's impressive to see what he can throw down. I think he'd be one of the best paddlers that we know at this time over 5,000 meters, would you say?
Yeah, I would. Absolutely. Man, I tell you what, he's certainly probably the fittest surf ski paddler in the world at the moment too. Like, the volume and the body of work that he's been able to put in over the last few months, he actually said it after he did get that bronze medal at the German Championships. It's all about that block of training towards Hong Kong and Australia. Of course, that's where everything is going to go down as well. And you would have to say, as impressive that he was at the WA Race Week last year in Perth that Shaw and Partners put on, he's probably in better form going into this, right?
Very worrying, and I would tend to agree. I haven't seen him at the top and dominating fields like he did at the Gorge, and, I mean, not winning, but still being at the very forefront of a kayak national championships with some of the best paddlers in the world. Yeah, that's a worrying sign for the rest of us, so maybe I've got to get back on the water sooner rather than later.
Number 4.
And Gordon's not the only surf ski paddler who has been spending time in a K1, but this person isn't someone that we did expect to be doing this just a few months ago. Danielle McKenzie, God, we speak about her every single time she races. She's one of the greatest female surf ski paddlers of all time, but she actually went off the grid a few months ago. Now, Maka, you are pretty close there on the Gold Coast, but I didn't know what she was up to. I didn't expect her to pop up racing a kayak at the World Championships for New Zealand. Now, we know New Zealand has one of the strongest and most successful women's kayak programs in history. Danielle McKenzie, in the space of just a few months, has slotted straight in. Now, at the start of the year, she had never really paddled a K1. She certainly had never raced one. In that time, she went to the national championships back home. She earned a spot on the team. And then she was lining up in the K2 500 A final in Germany at the World Championships with Amy Fischer to try and qualify a spot for next year's Olympics. Maka, we have seen Danny adapt to ocean ski paddling so quickly. What she's done in canoe sprint has been nothing short of meteoric. And while they did finish eighth in that A final, it was the top six who would qualify quota spots for the Olympics next year automatically. It is a warning to the world because now Danielle McKenzie, after conquering surf life saving, after conquering ocean ski paddling, she's going after sprint kayaking. What is left to say about this athlete, Maka?
I think you summed it up pretty well there. Meteoric. I love that. And you're not wrong, right? You watch the Ironman, or more importantly, the surf ski spec scale. Oh, I'm having a melt here.
You're all right, buddy. Just keep. You haven't been here for a while. Just keep going.
You're right. It's a beat. It's been a while, hasn't it? Bit rusty, but look, you take a look at the men's side, the guys that come out of the surf life saving scene. It takes them years to adapt to the whole kayaking. Years, technique, everything, the program, the regimen.
And that's for the ones that can adapt.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And so for her to be able to do it in a mere matter of months is meteoric. Exactly what you said, and hot off the press. I know she's going full hog into this. She's moving back to New Zealand with her husband now, Cody. So they're making the move back from the Gold Coast back to New Zealand to pursue this dream until the Olympics. So she's definitely invested in it.
Wow. And
it's going to be, I know.
Maka, that's breaking news. You didn't tell me that.
I know.
That's
massive. I was downplaying it. Yeah, she's actually having going away drinks on probably when this gets aired. So she'll be back in New Zealand, maybe before this is aired, depending how good we are. But
Now, Maka, good on you.
I know. I just threw that in there. It was very underrated news, but it is definitely headline worthy. It's going to be huge for the kayaking world of New Zealand, and you know the pedigree that you mentioned that they have down there, and they've created, or the program they've created, and the athletes that have come out of that is nothing but astonishing. And it'll be cool to see what DMAC can do in that environment. If she's been able to shoot to the top in, like I said, a mere matter of months, you imagine what a whole year under her belt can do.
Hey, don't stop now, Maka. Do you know what that meant for a surf ski racing this year? Are we going to see Danny at the World Championships?
Ooh, that I don't know. Guess that probably comes back down to the sprint kayak program in New Zealand. I know they're quite heavily guarded here in Australia. If it comes down to it, they like to keep them outside of the surf life-saving space in the event of injury, but I'm not sure. Danny's never one to back down from any race. I know that she's talking about coming back to do the Coolangatta Gold in a team. I dare say she'll be back for Aussies, so I can't imagine her missing that world title. No way.
Good on you, Maka, and good on you, Danielle McKenzie. We are so proud of everything you've achieved. It is unbelievable, and the whole surf ski community is right behind you.
Number three.
Now, here's a name that we haven't spoken about for a little while here on the Paddlers Pod, but he's certainly one of our favourites. Hector Henott, that is the younger brother of Valentin. Of course, we have seen Val race so much and with so much success while he's been here in Australia. Hector has been back home in France. And you know what? For the most part, he has been off the grid as well. We didn't really see Hector race in the ocean ski last season. We know that he's a sprint kayak paddler. He actually took up surf life saving a lot more seriously last year as well and got stuck right into that. But he is back in the ocean ski as well. And undoubtedly, he is racing better than ever. At the French National Championships just last month, Hector recorded a clean sweep. He took out the short course surf ski race, that was over 5 kilometres. He took out the 16-kilometre race as well and then paired up in the K2 with Nick Lambert, which they did win. And Hector has his sights set on the World Championships in Perth. He said
Oh my God, excuse me. That was actually the beer that I had that one. He said after it, to when speaking to Ouest France, an online publication, he said that he's feeling very relieved because each race was very close and decided in the final sprint against very tough opponents. But now it is about learning at the highest level. In Perth, he's aiming for a top 10 finish. He knows he has work to do in order to achieve that, but he's loving his paddling and he's certainly going after it. Macca, Hector is someone that we have seen come through the ranks right when he won silver at the 2015 World Championships in Tahiti. It's so nice to see him feeling this potential.
It's good for to have him back. I know he's been one to drop in and out of the surf ski scene. I know that he went on the French national junior team to do some kayaking stints. Like you said, he's been doing some surf life saving things over in France, and it's good to have him back. And it's really good to see him, you know, like you said, fulfilling his potential. And he's been doing quite a number of races over in that European part. I know him and Gordon had some quite tough battles earlier in the year, and I'm sure he's just growing.
Yeah, the French selection race. Oh, really close, weren't they?
Yeah. And in amazing conditions. And that Hanot family is a bunch of ocean men, and more just hellmen, right? Like, they always have been. Val sailed. We'll get to Val in a second.
We'll get to Val in the next episode of the podcast because there is a fair bit to unpack there. But yeah, their lifetime has just been built on taking on different challenges, hasn't it?
Yeah, all the time. And, you know, they always rise to the challenge. And I don't know if it's that French attitude, but they just make the best of what they can at any given opportunity. I went to a race in Sardinia, and they were just there sleeping in, I think we've mentioned this on the podcast before, sleeping in their, or not even theirs, maybe someone else's kayak bag under a trailer on for their accommodation in a car park. And then they were just getting up and paddling more distance than anyone and just enjoying it. And, you know, they don't eat much. They just do what they love. And what Hector looks like he's loving at the moment is paddling. And it's really cool to have him back. And I can't wait to see him in Perth, and it'll be really cool to race against him now he's in the big boy age group.
And you know what, Macca, that's actually probably the key to his success as well, is that he's enjoying his paddling. And, you know, we do need to catch up with Hector and check in, but maybe it did feel like that he wasn't enjoying it rather. Oh my God, listen to us. We weren't enjoying it as much last year, perhaps, with some of those results. And he's taken some time away. He's found that love for it again. And he's certainly found the fitness, because he's flying and he is another paddler that is going to be right in the mix at the end of the year.
Too many.
Number two.
But Macca, there is one paddler that has certainly caught the attention of the surf ski world. I'm not...
It's a bit eye-grabbing, isn't it?
Discounting the achievements that the last three athletes we have spoken about have put together. But I tell you what, none of them stack up to this, because we're always keeping an eye on Hank McGregor. We know that. The man is a world champion in kayak marathons. He's one of the greatest surf ski paddlers of all time. But this could well be one of his greatest achievements too, because at the age of, what are we, up to 45?
40, we'll give him 44. Right? We'll take one off maybe.
44. I'm sorry, Hank.
No, he wouldn't.
If you aren't 45. But Macca, he is doing the work and he is fit.
Isn't he?
Because if you have seen Hank McGregor's social media lately,
it's been booming.
We're getting a lot of, well, eye-catching content.
Eye candy, yeah.
The first one, actually the most recent one, just a few days ago, he was out paddling and he managed to catch a fish while he was training. And that is actually a pretty sizable fish. How did he catch that while he was training? I don't know, but that's the kind of ocean man that he is.
Fire his hands.
And that's the kind of fitness and shape he's in, because we're starting to see a few shirtless selfies pop up on Hank's Instagram.
Oh.
And I tell you what, he's looking fucking jacked as well.
It's, if Gordon's throwing out warning shots by 5,000 meter third places, Hank's definitely throwing warning shots by being the fittest bloke, or the fittest looking bloke and the most ripped bloke out of the surf ski scene, that's for sure.
Listen, I know that we were talking about our injuries and what's kept us off the water lately, but I actually looked in the mirror a couple of days ago and I felt pretty sad. looking at myself.
I've actually, I speak for yourself. I need to try and get fit then.
Okay, we'll see about that. But Macca, either way, none of us are stacking up to hang. Now, I also remember seeing a shirtless gym selfie at some point as well.
I don't know if it was shirtless.
I've gone back through his social media and I can't find it. It could have been on his Instagram story. But look, here's one right in front of us. Sunday sessions on the dam. Hank's probably just pumped out about 50 kilometers in his K1 on his own in the Hurt Locker. Big smile, 12 pack. And looking strong, he once again, every single year we start to think maybe Hank won't be attacking his training and attacking his racing as hard this year. But, mate, he's going to be very, very hard to beat once again because we know what goal is driving him, and that is the World Championships.
It always has been. He's been no secret. It's been no secret either. I think he's very vocal and that's the race he wants to win. And it has been for years now, and he's come so close on so many occasions. And this course will most likely suit him down to a T. It's pretty perfect. There's some hard, grueling bit at the start. Not really. Maybe a K and a half side chop, which he'll be perfect for. And then it's just pure downwind, exactly what he's used to. And it's just going to be a grunt to the line. And he's always going to be a force, isn't he? I don't think he ever will be. His dad's still racing.
Well, that's exactly right. Maybe we should start having some kind of social media watch segment just to see what's happening in terms of mind games on the lead up to Worlds and the Shaw and Partners WL Race Week, because Hank McGregor has certainly fired the first warning shot to the rest of his rivals on alert.
Be ready.
Number one.
Okay, we have been celebrating our surf ski athletes in other sports, but we actually do have a little bit of surf ski paddling to talk about as well. And a really interesting story, a really nice feel-good story too, because on the Australian Ocean Racing Series, Oscar Jones has broken through for his first victory. Oscar is someone that has been thereabouts now in the Opens for the past few years. He was such a promising junior coming through. We saw his success at the World Championships. But Macca, this is a big result. I know it's only early in the season, but Oscar took out the Chucky, a really important race to those surf ski paddlers in Sydney. Just a few weeks ago now, in tough conditions on Sydney's northern beaches, finishing at Long Reef. A lot of people will be familiar with that because of its relevance to the 20 Beaches race as well. And he got there in a grueling sprint finish over the top of Corey Hill. Anytime you can take a win over Corey, that's a big scalp.
Big time. I mean, it's like maybe it's not the biggest event on the calendar, but like you said, anytime you take a big name scalp down like that, that adds so much confidence to your paddling. I, for one, I was looking back at my memories of last year, and it was the Coffs Harbour race, and there was hardly anyone there apart from a few of us that went down, and I was able to get one over Corey and Tom and Val, and it really gave you a leg up to what was possible for the later end of the year. And I know Oscar's going to be feeling that. I'm speaking firsthand, that level of confidence goes a long way in driving not only your belief but also the training to keep going and the motivation to, you know, really see those tough sessions out, because you know it is possible now.
It feels weird to be talking about an Australian Ocean Series race that neither of us were at. I actually can't think of the last one where that was the case, but it was Oscar Jones who did. The video is floating around online. He seemed to kind of get a little lift that allowed him to get away from Corey just at the finish there. He crossed the line in 1 hour, 3 minutes and 26 seconds. That was 10 seconds ahead of Corey Hill and almost a minute ahead of Sam Norton in third. Really good to see Sam Norton, one, make the trip up from Tasmania, but two, the fact that he is paddling at a standard this early in the year as well. It means that we do know Sam is going to be thereabouts again. He's one of the greats of Australian surf ski paddling. We did have a bunch of juniors in the mix too that were really strong. Harry Torin, Zico Vesely, Dylan Askew. One for me, Macca, Matthew Rhys in the over 50s, seventh overall. Rhysy, look out to those over 50s because Rhysy is flying, but that is a big result for Oscar Jones. In the women's, it was Gemma Smith who did claim another victory to her name. She was 1 hour 10 and 45 as she starts to wind back up after her break over the winter months. It was Emily Doyle who was in second, the Iron Woman from Sydney. She's now moved to the Gold Coast. She made the trip back down, and then Wollongong's finest Hannah Minogue in third, rounding out that top three. So you can see Gemma starting to get those races in again. I know she's starting to get those Ks in as well on that lead up to the end of November. What it does mean for the Australian Ocean Racing Series overall point score too. We'll check in with that this early on in the campaign. It's actually Emily Doyle who does lead that. It's Sasha Torrens in second and Kaya Sugars is currently in third place on that overall standing. Down in the man's, it is Corey Hill who is the leader. Oscar Jones shoots right up to second place with another Wollongong legend, Ben Constable, in third at the moment. Macca, do you get that feeling things are starting to heat up? We're starting to see more and more races pop up on the calendar.
Yeah, this is where it really starts to heat up. And I think you'll see the quality of paddler come to the events moving forward into the later half of this season. Maybe not even the quality of paddler, just them putting their best effort forward and their best product will really shine through. Everyone's level of paddling is about to kick up to a higher level. And I think you're out of it for this season maybe, but I certainly need to get paddling because I don't even have 1 point on that series.
Well, I hope that I can actually jump in and do a few races too. I'm not afraid to race. Like 20 Beaches is actually on the horizon as well, being brought forward to October from its previous December position. So, look, if I can hold up the paddle for that long, I would like to do that. But
maybe we could do a double. It'd be a good introduction for me back to racing. Shout,
but I think you need to actually put your head down and do a bit of singles paddling. Anyone in a double? That's a shout out. If you would like to race a double with me at some point this year, get in touch. Hopefully, I can do that. But Macca, it is heating up, and we certainly are looking forward to keeping our eye on it as well. Well, it is the changing of the seasons. If you are in the Northern Hemisphere, things are about to get a whole lot cooler. But if you are down south and things are about to heat up, and that is why it is the perfect time to have Vi Kobe back on board with the Paddlers Pod as the sponsor of this episode. In fact, they've always been a very long time sponsor, Pat and the team, of what we do here at the Paddler. I think Pat was actually probably one of the first people to talk me into doing this, setting up the podcast and getting the website going as well. And he's always the first on the phone to actually tell me to hurry up and record another episode of the podcast. So that is why it is good timing for Vi Kobe to be back, because it's time to take a look at our wardrobe, take a look at our paddling clothes. I don't know how everyone who is listening stores their paddling clothes. Mine stays in a big bucket in the back of my wardrobe, and I have stuff in there that has holes through it that is see-through from things that I've collected over the years. But I only need a few items now that I'm decked out in Vi Kobe kit. Be cold if you are needing to stay nice and warm, and the UV range has everything that you need. Not only that, Vi Kobe has all the accessories that you're after as well to make sure that you are ticking every box every time that you get on the water to maximize your training. And as we keep speaking about at the moment too, there is lots of training to be done for what is going to be a history-making finish to the year as well. So head to vikobe.com to stock up on everything you need to be out on the water and enjoying it while you're doing it as well. The Pathway to Perth. Is that the new name of this segment that we're going to start doing on the Paddlers Pod? I don't know. I just thought of it off the top of my head.
Could well be.
Because as we know, we do things on the run here at the Paddlers Pod with no planning. But there is something that has actually been in the works, and that is actually celebrating what is a really unique event in our sport as well, being the ICF Ocean Racing World Championships, because we are starting to begin that pathway to Perth. And before long, well, we're going to be sitting there talking about what has transpired as well. Now, Macca, the World Championships has been a special event for both of us. What we're going to do over the next few podcast episodes on the build-up to it is get the experiences of other paddlers from around the world. And we're not just talking the elite. We'll check in with some of the masters who have been there over the years too and celebrate all of the things that make that event so great. So, Macca,
this is a good idea.
This is something that you and I have actually spoken about a bit over the years on the Paddlers Pod, because it was the World Championships that actually got us into the sport to begin with. We've laughed about that grueling selection event, 20 of the hardest K's we've ever done. We cramped, we cried, somehow we made it to the finish. But Macca, it's something that we've revisited since. Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but I want you to try and articulate what it is about the World Championships that you love and that it's got you going back every year since.
Jeez, you are putting me on the spot. I wrote a piece for Paddle Australia. They asked me a similar question. And I think it's more about, for me, the people that I've met, the friends that I've made, and the experiences that I've been able to have. That, for me, is what has been the biggest and the best things to come out of the World Championship. Sure, like the racing, and, you know, I've had some amazing results, some ones that I may not be as impressed with along the way out of the 7 world titles that have run. But at the end of the day, they're just an hour and a half of racing, and there's so much more that goes into it, so much more build up. There's so many different experiences from all the places that we've got to race around the world, and it is cool being able to do that on your own and organize that on your own. You know, it's not an Olympic sport at the moment, and I'm not sure if making it one would actually ruin the freedom that we've had to experience it. I think one of my favorite experiences was us in 2015 going to Tahiti, you, me, Kenny Rice, and Joey Hall, all staying together at a lovely place on the water there, traveling around the island, getting to meet Fergus Morgan, lifelong friends, staying at his place as a result at the doctor for years to come. Like, that's the stuff that comes out of these world championships, and that, to me, is the best thing. I mean, yes, the result, like last year, the third will live with me forever, but so will all the memories that I've made along the way.
It's a really good point, actually, because, well, before we started doing ocean scale paddling, our big event of the year was the Australian Surf Life Saving Titles, of course, which is a big event. And, you know, you think about the people that you meet around the country as a result of that. Now, Macca, cast your mind back to 2013 as well, because we were paddling through the cold winter, getting ready for an event that we had no idea about. At that point, we thought surf scare paddling was just in Australia. Do you remember how much you were coming actually up to Newcastle?
Yeah, true.
In what? That time as hell? Well? You were. Now, Macca, of course, from Wollongong, was still living in Wollongong at the time, but was dating a lovely girl in Newcastle. Shout out if you're listening. Actually, one of my previous high school girlfriends too. We don't talk about that enough on the podcast.
Oh, I can't believe this is going to make the cut. That's amazing.
Yeah, so together we were maybe just about 13 years old. Maybe my first high school girlfriend.
And there you are years later,
Macca. And we just had no idea what to expect. Or do you remember when we paddled to one of the flat kind of harbour locations in Swansea, Salts Bay, me, you, and Greg Tobin, and we were practicing our jump starts
because we knew it was going to be a jump start. That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
We got smoked.
Lining up on the beach in Portugal with about 500 other people at that time.
The heartbeat.
It was
nothing
that we expected. Just an incredible, incredible experience that did allow us to make those friends for life. You know, we just spoke about the fact that I went and saw Victor Du and his, you know, new beautiful baby girl, Moana, and his partner and their friends. And, you know, there were friends actually in Bear Ritz at the time as well, who I know through Leon Kayak Club because of previous times that I'd stayed with Victor. And, you know, I can sit in Greece and call Austin Kiefer on admittedly what was 20 minutes notice and say, hey, can you stop what you're doing and do an episode of the podcast because we're starting to get roasted for it. Like,
yeah,
they really are friends for life and experiences for life. I'm glad that you covered off the fact that, you know, it isn't about the racing. And I'm glad that you mentioned 2015 as well. Is that your favorite memory? I'm actually trying to think of what my favorite funny story is from some of the world championships over the years. I think actually it might come from 2013. Can I talk about the time you sat on a statue of a bull and ripped your flare after the race?
Oh, we
were 18 at the time. I think we can celebrate those kind of things, but their
I think someone has
life,
a video.
Macca.
Probably could stay hidden, but that is, yeah, you're not
that
wrong.
That was the greatest post-race celebration and party we've ever had. It was Nello had hired out a castle. It was a prize giving in a castle. It turned into a nightclub. We were 18. We thought this was just the best thing ever. We got so hungover that I couldn't drink beer before that night. We got so hungover that night that I actually could never drink spirits again, and that's when I started drinking beer. But gee, lots of memories. Is this what we should be promoting about the World Championships?
I think it is
because it embodies. Okay, yeah, not the excessive drinking, and I'm not celebrating
and not
flares
on a statue.
But what I'm talking about is it. What is the World Championships? It has such an imposing name, the World Titles, but it's a celebration of paddling and of the community.
Amen to that. You hit the nail on the head, like you said. And like I said, the racing is a small part. We have a world championship coming up that goes for a full week, really, when you factor in all the activities on the inside or the outside before and afterwards and everything that will happen in between. And the racing is a very small, minute part of that. And I am full transparency on the host organizing committee, and so are you, actually. So we both are, and we have skin in the game here, and we want to make it an amazing event. And that's something that we've been trying to do is... Like, we know that the racing is only a small part. So what are we going to do outside of that that is going to give people the same experiences that we've had over the past World Championships and be able to tell similar stories as years to come with friends that they've made for life?
And there's going to be plenty more
wholesome,
written.
That's very
wholesome, isn't it? Oh, it's beautiful, Makrash. It's very nice. And there's going to be plenty more of those memories written this year as well in Perth. Entries are now open. And it's time to start planning. Now, listen, I know a lot of people have actually planned their trip to Perth and are coming to Perth, but you've got to enter as well. That's a really important part of actually racing in the World Championships is entering.
Need
and,
to know
you know,
numbers.
I know that we put those things off, and, you know, we always do flood in late, but that time is actually now. It's now time to enter the World Championships. It's open to everyone, and we want everyone there too. We'll see you in Perth at the end of the year.
For a beer.
And we'll see you next time. On the Paddler's Pod as well. Macca, we've blown out some cobwebs, I think, today.
Yeah, we've definitely mumbled our words too, a couple of slurs, but we'll get through it. We'll be better. Back bigger and better next time, and hopefully there's not as long between drinks now we're both back and in the same country and we're held up with a couple of injuries for the foreseeable future.
Hey, shoot us a message as well. Get in touch. Let us know what you've been doing. Let us know what you want us to chat about. We are a family here on the Paddler's Pod. Sure, we fight sometimes, like when you send us messages saying you need to record more episodes of the podcast. Like, well, you know, we're aware
of
that. But like a family, we always come back together. And that is what we've done today. That is what we've done next time as well. Thank you so much for listening. Mackenzie Heiner, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Sam. It's been a pleasure. Until next time, take care and enjoy.